It's getting closer and closer. Count it down. 20, 19, 18, 17, etc., etc. We're going to get there. Yes, indeed. In 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy 2004.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world's worst program. Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to another special holiday edition of Random Bytes Radio, this time for December 28, 2004. I'm Ross Rader, broadcasting as live as I can be from Casa Disco in icy, one-legged hop-along Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Tons of stuff to get caught up on today. Of course, we've got the terrible situation in Asia. And the good situation in the United Kingdom. Adam Curry's got some great news. I'm going to talk a little bit about the last couple of days around here. And we'll finish up with a little bit of a rant around making sense of technology, how people try and sort things out when they first get their fists into them. And of course, always, we've got some decent indie tracks lined up. Today we've got some tunage from Citizen Smith UK, Lockstep, a local band here in Toronto, The Faint, Ethan Daniel Davidson, who's been called the new Bob Dylan, The Elected, Scoville Unit, and of course, we're going to close things off with some Big Bad Sugar. Situation in Asia is it's just... wow, out of control. Last time I checked, I was hearing numbers of 70,000 plus dead. That's just awful. I'm personally finding it pretty bizarre. Just noticing how different events like this, different disasters, somehow affect us all differently. And not to minimize the tragedy here, but... you know, somehow what happened in New York on September 11th was just a little bit more gravitas, if that's even a word. Even though this is, of course, at least in terms of human life, an order of magnitude worse. But it just seems so far away and so just not in your face the way... the way it was when those airplanes smashed into that building and those people's lives were taken. I suspect that has something to do with fear and, you know, deep down inside, I know that earthquake isn't going to hit my back door anytime soon. But I remember driving to work on September 11th and thinking, oh, maybe the CN Tower's next. So perhaps that's what's setting it apart. Around our place, there's no TV on during Christmas Day. That's a strict family rule. So I didn't actually get wind of this. There's also no internet on Christmas Day up at my parents' place, unless I'm willing to sneak off and go hide at the end of a 56K modem. It's not going to happen. So I actually didn't get wind of this until much later on Boxing Day. And, you know, through the crappy Canadian coverage that we've got, I didn't really get a real sense of what was going on until I came back into... the real world. It's just amazing at how quickly things have pulled together. Let me just pull this up here. I did a search this morning for Tsunami Relief Fund, no quotes on Google, just to see how quickly people had picked up. Here it is, the 29th, so this is now a four-day-old situation. And already on Google, there's 73,900 hits. If you just quickly scroll down through the, for instance, the sponsored links, you've got everything from, join in prayer for those affected by the massive Asian tsunami, the Help Quake Victims, the Jewish Community in Thailand group. I'm just looking here. Is anybody actually trying to sell anything? It doesn't seem to, which is pretty cool. I think earlier I'd actually, let me see if I can refresh this. It seems that has been taken away, which is good to see. Perhaps if I modify the search slightly. No, it's not coming back. But earlier when I searched, somebody had had bought some search terms that had obviously brought them up, when I thought that was kind of tacky. Back to the actual organizations that are getting listed here, there's just hundreds, if not thousands, of different funds that people can involve themselves with, different efforts, whether it be the American Red Cross, the Red Crescent Society, the Indian Tsunami Relief Fund. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. So if you're interested in actually getting involved personally, whether it be financially or through devoting some of your time, just go to Google like I did and actually do that search. That's Tsunami Relief Fund. I'm sure that if you typed in Tsunami Relief Assistance, you're going to get a much different set of results here. Let me see what comes up. Yeah, certainly. So you've now got a much different set of results that help you understand how you can actually personally get involved. So if you don't have the funds available, there's lots of great angles there that you can consider. So do that, please. Go to Google, go find an outlet, and get involved. Do something to help out where you can. That's certainly needed, because 70,000 people dead is not going to be an easy cleanup. Billions and billions and billions of dollars in damage, and the loss of life is just unspeakable. So if you can at all get in and help out, somebody somewhere is going to feel that and appreciate it. So get your karma going and get involved. Adam Curry had some great news earlier this week. I'm going to, actually yesterday, the 28th of December, I'm just going to play that clip for you here. One second.
And the great news came in yesterday after I had already cut the show and was, in fact, on my way to Starbucks to upload it. We were parking in the garage, and I had the girls with me, Christina and Patricia, because they wanted to do some shopping. Of course, all the sales are on, right? The after Boxing Day sales, that's what you really want. And Bob, who was... mom's husband called, and he said, "We just spoke to the doctor. They got the results back, because what they do is they take this lung out. They don't just discard it in the corner, you know, like, oh, just throw it on the tarp over there. No, they go and they examine that. And yesterday they gave her an official cancer-free declaration. And that calls for a celebration."
That is indeed great news, Adam. That's congratulations on that. I recently got some similar news, actually. About 30 months ago, that my grandfather was diagnosed with lung cancer. And at that point, actually, it felt like a very terminal diagnosis, especially for the family. He was always very hopeful about that. So it wasn't, from his standpoint, it was never a death sentence. But it, looking back on it, I don't think, we had the best of hopes and the dimmest of outlooks. But it made me sort of reevaluate a lot of things that I was doing. I was a heavy smoker at the time, and just not on a good track, as it were. And he, his inspiration and threats of ass kickings actually got me to quit smoking. But recently, actually, he was out in the first week of December, and he informed us all that now, after some 30 months of treatments and surgeries, he's actually had a full lung removed. He is also 100% cancer-free, which was just astounding. It absolutely floored me to know that someone in his spot with such a dim prognosis could literally pull himself up by his thumbnails and beat something so awful. So it was great news for us here as well. So Adam, I can definitely relate to how you're feeling, and good for you guys. That's definitely great news. And as for me, quitting smoking was a big step. It's actually just we missed my second year anniversary a few weeks back. I didn't do what I did year one, which was point out some stats around smoking, more my smoking, as it were. So I started smoking, as near as I can figure, somewhere in March of 1986, and through 2002, I smoked a cigarette roughly every 4,320 seconds for a total of 122,367 cigarettes. That means that at an average length of 3.22 inches, I smoked roughly 10.3 kilometers of cigarettes in that period of time. That adds up to my life being shorter by about 2 years and 3 months. Cost me about $52,000, and if I'd actually banked that same amount of money in that period of time, I would have been able to save, given roughly 5% interest, saved about $81,000. And that's what happens when you smoke for 16 years. It's not good for your pocketbook. It's not good for your health. It's just not good all around. On the upside, I quit 2 years ago, which has taken almost 15,000 cigarettes out of my diet, as it were. I've been able to quit for roughly 12% of the time that I'd actually smoked, and managed to get 3 months of that life back. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. And hopefully there's another year of that ahead of me, and then another year and another year and another year. What's kept me going is just knowing that it's being like an alcoholic, that you never really are a non-smoker after you've smoked for so long. You're a reform smoker. And one step at a time, every day goes by is another day as a reform smoker. So hopefully I can avoid what Adam's mom and my grandfather and countless others have gone through. And again, congratulations to absolutely everybody, Adam's mom, grandpa, Adam and his family, my family, and everybody that's beat both the disease and the habit. Hats off, folks. Here's some Citizen Smith UK for you, folks. Enjoy.
Town.
Glass, Dance by The Faint. Before that was a local band, actually, Lockstep, with their track Shut Down. You can actually check them out at www.lockstep.net. Please do. I've told them that I would send millions of people from the internet to their website. So if the six of you listening would go there, I'd be really, really happy. And before that was Citizen Smith UK with their track Seasick, kicking things off. Christmas in review. Of course, we had Christmas a couple of days ago. Actually, it was a great year this year. Sort of broken up into three different Christmases. Actually, my wife's parents are divorced, so we actually celebrate Christmas with both her father's side of the family and her mother's side of the family. So Christmas Eve is actually spent with her father's side of the family. We go out to her uncle's place and exchange some gifts and have some great food and chat and just generally have a nice time. It's usually pretty laid back. My favorite part about it, though, it's an official turnoff from the sort of pre-holiday stress. You go, you know darn well that when you get there, you're not leaving before midnight. And anything that you've forgotten to do is just it left undone. So it's just this great complete and total shutdown. You grab yourself a glass of wine, you chat around the living room in front of the fire, and just generally take it easy. It's a real nice evening. After that, we typically jump in the vehicle and make the trek out to my parents' place. They're out in the Peterborough area, so it's about an hour and a half drive from Toronto, which means we get there pretty late. This year we didn't get there till like 3:30. My leg kind of kept us from doing the super fast trek, and we ended up doing the super slow mo trek, which was okay. At least we got there and in one piece. It was just so late. Christmas Day at the parents' place is just sort of a nonstop Christmas fest. It starts off first thing in the morning. We get up and we open our stockings. Usually grab a quick breakfast around 10 or 11. Then straight into presents. This year we kind of finished that up. Keep in mind, we've got a fairly large family. I think there was 12 people this year. My grandmother, mom and dad, Amanda and I, my brother Keith, my brother Gavin, his girlfriend Heather, Allison and Lynn, and Caleb. So that's a big whack of people to be exchanging gifts. And then from there, it's just sort of like this little bit of a retreat into present land until dinner. Dinner is a very traditional turkey and stuffing, mashed potatoes kind of event. And then usually it's a pretty quiet evening after that. Now, today, on the 29th, I'm actually waiting for the third bit of Christmas to show up. Amanda's parents are making the drive down from Pembroke, Ontario, which is about 4 or 5 hours away, depending on the weather. And they are going to be getting in, I guess, around 5 o'clock. And then we're going to exchange some gifts and have some fun. And they'll be around here till New Year's Day, maybe even the 2nd of January, actually. We're not quite sure. And that's the third bit of Christmas, so I can't really complete my Christmas in review until that's done. But in the meantime, I've got my own bit of good news. I had my leg appointment this morning, my knee appointment, and they loosened off the brace. So now I've got, well, I'm supposed to have 90 degrees range of motion from my leg brace. It's more like 20 because of all the padding around this brace, but that's not too bad. At least I can go up and down stairs now. Instead of one stair at a time, I can do two, which is pretty cool. Still need the crutches. Just nuts at the doctor's office this morning. Had to go back to St. Joseph Hospital. Had an appointment for 8:15. Didn't actually get in until about 9. But it gave me some time to catch up on a few podcasts, which is always nice. On my nice, shiny new MP3 player that my wife got me, a nice little creative 512 meg unit with an FM tuner, blah 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 blah. It's really really cool, really handy. So they got me in around 9 or so. What was amazing, though, was not only sort of the decent prognosis from the doc, but I also caught a break with my MRI appointment. That was originally scheduled for the beginning of February. But somebody had a cancellation this afternoon at 4:15, so they actually canceled their appointment. And I was able to snag it, which means I'm now moved up a whole month in my diagnosis and therefore my recovery, which is just great. What that gets me is a doc that actually knows what's going on with me. It just really blows me away that, you know, here it has been 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it's been since I've hurt myself. And the doc really doesn't have a clue of how bad the damage is. For all I know, I could be walking around with a blown out meniscus and requires extensive knee surgery. And, we literally don't know. I don't think it's that bad. It certainly doesn't feel like anything terrible at this point. You know, I'm still taking my Advils, et cetera, but haven't had to dig into the Tylenol 3, so I'm, you know, certainly able to get around the house fine, get around on the crutches fine, you know, so it's not like I'm completely confined to bed, but, you know, it's just interesting that, you know, with the state of Western medicine that, that often you're not really getting a decent shake until, the equipment, which is in short supply, comes up, you know, comes up with your number. And, I'm just lucky that my number came up at random pretty, pretty quickly. Anyways, folks, here's some new tunes for you. This is the Scoville Unit with The Last Train to Scoville.
When they all came out to see you, and if I told you, could you understand? Could my words ring true? And I know now what you're all about. Will these words come back to haunt me? If we get back on that train again, in the morning, would you hold my hand? When they all came out to see you, and if I told you, could you understand? Could my words ring true? And I know now what you're all about. Will these words come back to haunt me? Back on that train again. If we get back on that train again, can it ever be the same again? If we get back on that train again, can I ever show my face again? On that train again, can it ever be the same again? If we get back on that train again, can I ever show my face again?
Get back on that train.
Can I ever show my face?
say Jesus isn't coming. It's just an eventuality. Well, if he ever gets here, I got a word for him about maybe working on his punctuality. Because there's way too many people been stepped on way too hard for far too long. There may be a better world coming, babe, but what if this is the only one? We'll be right back.
mom and get the hell out of the house? Would you do something for your son, mom, and stop taking all these pills? 'Cause it's cold in December and there's a reason to stay in, and I wanna see you win. You're on the deck of that ship, yeah, you're sailing away. The sun looks right on your face. Without a reason to believe in something, could do most anything. Well, that's what you told me someplace, but I can't remember when. It was a long time ago, maybe the first day of school, going to visit Dad. I was scared, but you told me I can fold if I want. I was only nine, but I went.
Go On. That was The Elected with Go On. Before that was Ethan Daniel Davidson and his track Only One World. And kicking it off with The Last Train to Scoville by the Scoville Unit. So, it's semi-rant time. Not really going to rant because I'm actually in a not really a ranty mood. But what I wanted to talk about was... this little thing that I'd observed—actually, not observed, because I've observed it before—but I guess categorized. And the category that I stuck this behavior in is called making sense of technology. You know, a lot of people try, and this end of this song just goes on forever, so I'm just going to let it play in the background. Maybe it doesn't go on forever. It's done. Anyways, when people get exposed to new technologies, they immediately want to make sense of it. And I've really observed two different ways that people kind of put it in their own boxes. One is to just use it and swim in it and grok it and overexpose themselves to it to the point where they are masters of that technology. The other behavior, the more interesting one, because this is the behavior that I don't engage in, is so therefore it's more interesting because it's just completely foreign to me and I want to learn about it, is how people will tend to try and bound these technologies by imposing rules on them. And it's just this bizarre, well, bizarre for me. I don't know, you know, how you don't want to characterize it as bad or good or positive or negative or any of those things. It's just different, so therefore it's foreign, and things that are foreign tend to get labeled bizarre by the observer. So I'm going to call this bizarre, but I don't mean anything by it. So it's this bizarre behavior whereby people try to impose their own view of how the technology ought to work and how it ought to be used. And it's just weird, I think, because it doesn't help anybody digest this stuff any better. I don't think. Maybe it does for the rule maker, but it certainly doesn't for everybody else. As a matter of fact, it probably serves to confuse everybody more than anything else, because these rules are just kind of made up. You have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. You can't do this. You can only do that. And if it's Tuesday, please, 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 please do not use it in this way. So the people coming into the world of this this new technology makes possible. Well, you know, I'm not talking about anybody in specific here, so you know, I want to be clear about that. It's just this general behavior that I'm talking about. It confuses the crap out of people because they don't know what the rules are, and you know, so they're not only faced with having to reconcile the meaning of this technology and how to best use it within their own context, but they've got to absorb this artificial context that somebody else has wrapped around it to help it make sense for themselves. So it's like this really weird thing. Personally, I think that people are just better left to their own experimentation and to figure out how this stuff works naturally. You know, that's the beauty of the crowd. Once you've got one person that's figured out a smart way to use a smart new technology, they're going to bring other people into it, and those people can find out on their own how, you know, the smartest way to use that technology. And in that crowd, the smart things are going to be brought to the forefront, and the stupid things are going to die off. Dumb behaviors die very, very quickly in large crowds, with rare exceptions. So, you know, the best thing that we can do to move the ball forward with any new technology, whether it be podcasting or RSS or blogging or holographic sparkly mail casting, is to just get more people involved and let them do with it, do with the technology what they will, and keep an eye out for those smart behaviors and urge them to invent new smart behaviors, because that's the way our collective IQ gets like way better, and we get access to better technologies and newer innovations and more fun toys to play with. So if you're looking forward to the advent of holographic sparkly mail, then get somebody involved with podcasting, because one smart thing leads to another. Anyways, that's it for me, everybody.
Yes, indeed, it's getting closer and closer. Count it down. 20, 19, 18.
Well, I clicked the wrong button. Let me try that again. That's it for me, folks. I hope everybody, every one of you, that means you, and you, especially you, not so much you, but you know, you're in there as well, and you, 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 and you. A wonderfully happy New Year's. Not only a good, safe New Year's Eve, but a good 2005. The only way you're going to do that is to be safe. Please, 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 don't drink and drive. And make sure you take the time out to consider the good fortune that you've all had over the last year. The best to each and every one of you from all of us here at Random Bites Radio. Amanda and I wish you all the best for 2005. Take care, folks. Don't let 2005 get you down. Cheers. My New Year's resolution is to never sing in a podcast again.